Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It's March, or it's not March, it's June 7th, 2023. I'm all out of sorts, my guys. AEW Dynamite post-show. We're here to talk about this. We're right before the new era of AEW with Collision. Of course, we got Forbidden Door to talk about, and we got a new face here on Fightful to tell you about it. Alex is on vacation, so we got Tyler Lachalet. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. I'm excited to be here. It's been a long time coming, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we've been talking about talking for quite some time, and then we said, you know what? Let's have Tyler on the show tonight, and we'll see how you guys like him. But whether you like us, you hate us, it doesn't matter. Leave a thumbs up on this video. It goes such a long way. Send in a super chat. Send in a humper chat. That gets your question or statement read on the air. Our great moderator, Luis, here will collect those, and then we will read them as it fits on our show. So, yeah, get those in. It really goes a long way in helping us. And, of course, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We had a bunch of news directly related to this show over on FightfulSelect.com, just $5 a month. I'll be doing my Q&A show Thursday, so you guys will be able to get more questions answered. But one of the things that we mentioned on Fightful Select today, Tyler, was that Sandra Gray, the seamstress for AEW, is retiring. They held a little ceremony for her before AEW Dynamite today, and I just wanted to run down some of her contributions because there are a lot of people that know about her from Total Divas and Sammy's vlog and stuff like that, but she was actually recruited before Sable was Sable. Now Rena Lesnar recruited Sandra Gray in the 90s to make Johnny B. Badd's gear. She ended up getting her work liked so much. WCW brought her in. She worked there until they closed. She worked with WWE until 2015. Then Brandi Rhodes made sure that she was brought into AEW when that happened. We want to wish her very, very well in her retirement. Dustin Rhodes came out and led a celebration and honoring of her before this episode of Dynamite. And FightfulSelect.com reported that she will still continue to make Cody Rhodes' gear, which, you know, has been very extravagant for quite some time. But she's credited for helping Naomi's Glow costume become a reality, tons of Cody Rhodes gear, the Scott Hall, the famous the blood drops. I mean, our dude Tyler over here wearing the NWO Wolfpack, it goes hand in hand right there. So
she's a legend.
Yeah, exactly. A legend. She's probably going to be in multiple halls of fame. but wanted to send some love to her. But we got AEW Dynamite to talk about. How'd you feel about this episode?
I liked it, man. I thought last week actually was one of the best of the year. So I was like, holy crap, how can they top that? And I thought they did a good job tonight. Yeah, I thought they did a good job. That was good.
Yeah, I look at this show and it's very clear they're setting up a lot of things. They're setting up Forbidden Door. They're setting up Collision debuting. They're setting up a lot of stuff, but I think that they progressed an awful lot of stuff as well. And I'm very excited for us to talk about it. Just a reminder, guys, we got a lot of stuff over at FightfulSelect.com. Go ahead, do us a favor, subscribe. It would mean an awful lot. But let's go ahead and get into this show. Specifically, one of the things that I kind of want to jump into, because I feel like we're going to be jumping around quite a bit, but there were a lot of video segments to promote Forbidden Door, because a lot of times you'll have people say, well, I don't know that much about these New Japan talent. They need to do videos. They need to do videos. They did that tonight. They educated people on why exactly these matches, Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson versus Kazuchika Okada, were happening, and really gave us a bit of a backstory. How'd you feel about those?
Good. I'm glad they did that now and not wait till the week before the pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Give it time to build. And especially I like the way they did it tonight, because if you're not on social media, you have no idea this stuff is happening. So I thought it was a good idea to have those packages. Man, I cannot wait for those matches. Hold, just seeing the graphic of those four guys, you know, like, oh my God, it's, it has a lot to live up to. And I'm pretty sure they will, of course.
Ospreay and Omega is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Yes. And that feud got kicked off on a Fightful interview while Kenny Omega was sidelined. Like, I remember I got the call and somebody said, oh, Kenny wants to know if you would interview him. I'm like, wants to know if I would interview him. Like, tell me what time and when. And like, that's never ask if I want to interview him. Just set it up and I'll make it work. And then we get in there and he's taking these little shots at Ospreay, And I'm like, man, you're burying him a lot. And he goes, well, let me dig myself out of this hole. Then he buried him even more.
So he knew it was coming. You know,
he knew it was coming. He knew the headline that was happening. He knew what he was setting up. And I thought that Ospreay did get legitimately emotional about it. So I'm stoked to see this.
Yeah, especially at the press conference for their match in January, how emotional Ospreay got. That was some deep stuff, and you could feel the energy. And that's what you want in pro wrestling, man. You want to feel something. You felt that. So hopefully, I'm sure they'll live up to it, like I said. But I'm super excited for it, for sure.
Matthew Hook says, what else happens on Forbidden Door? We only have two matches. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw MJF defend against somebody like Toru Yano or something ridiculous like that. He'll like defend against somebody completely off the wall that doesn't pose a threat to him. That way he can say, look, I'm doing it. I'm taking on New Japan's best. What are you looking forward to there?
I thought they were going to do Cole. I thought they were going to do the way they set it up tonight. I was like, wait, we're about to do Adam Cole and MJF at Forbidden Door, like a quick little program. I don't know, but apparently we're doing it next week. I mean, obviously next week. Yeah, I think there's going to be more to it. You know, some shenanigans happening, but it could be a quick program. I don't know.
Tom LaValle says, RIP Sheiky Baby, F Hulk Hogan. Yes, we want to send our condolences and love to the friends, family, fans of the Iron Sheik who passed away this week. Darren Walker says, if Tyler loves Jeff Jarrett, can he replace Alex from now on? Are you a Jeff Jarrett guy?
I was not, but with his AEW run, I'm turning into one, dude.
Nice.
He's rubbing off on me, man. I'm actually enjoying his work, so yeah.
I think that his work has been good. I don't need to see him really on TV. I don't need to see him on TV as much as we have, but I think his work has been good.
I think we're due for a break for a little bit, for sure.
Indeed. This is going to be something that we talk about throughout the show, but FightfulSelect.com reported last week and then reiterated today the main event of the first Collision, and it was confirmed. CM Punk and FTR versus Samoa Joe and Bullet Club Gold. This is something that we had also mentioned on Select. CM Punk has taken a liking to Switchblade Jay White. He thinks that he can do some work with him. I'm told that's going to be an early program for him, and that's a hell of an early program to have. We've got KJ saying, as a Jay White fan, am I wrong to not be excited about him feuding with Punk? Jay needs momentum to cement star status in AEW, and we know TK isn't letting his golden boy lose his return feud, so it seems likely Punk will go over clean. I do think it's likely that Punk will go over clean, Tyler, but one of those things that we had reported was that Jay White's been far more laid back about his creative than a lot of people online have been. He's been like, I'm cool, I'm happy, and now he's facing CM Punk. I think this proves to be a benefit for him. This is him working at a main event level a month and a half into his run.
Absolutely, and he's in the main event tonight. Like, I don't understand the way people think he should have been booked right off the bat. Like, you got to build this thing up, man. Like, we don't want to throw him into a main event scene right away. Let's learn the character. I think he's growing on TV each week. I think he's getting better and better with Juice. Last week with Tony Schiavone in the ring, that was awesome. And this week we'll get into it. Great match. But yeah, it's interesting with the CM Punk stuff, where they go. There's just so many questions, man. So many questions.
There are so many questions. Action says, I look at Tony Khan's announcement and the level of talent in the Collision main event, and it really stands out how far AEW has come talent-wise in the past 4 years. None of them were here in the beginning. That is wild to think that none of these guys were here at the start of AEW's run, and they've got a legit, fantastic main event ready to go. That is a wonderful point. Pro Wrestling Podcast, just did somebody say CM Punk? CM Punk always popping up on Pro Wrestling Podcast's Instagram page. And Darren Walker, yes, I will ask Fight TV if Collision will be on Fight because there's no announcement from them. But we do have our own post-show come into Fightful for Collision. I want to shout out our friend Riccicino, who's going to be starting up along with Iridian Fierro and Crest of the Star, who you guys have seen on our Impact post-show. Make sure you guys check that out. I'll be swinging by on Saturdays, on Fridays here and there to serve as an insider on the SmackDown and Collision post-shows. But I will put something together with my thoughts on those shows for FightfulSelect.com. So if you're wanting to see that for whatever reason, FightfulSelect.com is where to go. Oh, man, the opener of Dynamite tonight. They hit a home run. I mean, they didn't hit four home runs like our boy Joe Burrow did in Reds batting practice today. Did you see that?
That's my guy, dude. I'm an LSU guy. That is our savior.
I see that behind you. Listen, if that was Patrick Mahomes' dad throwing batting practice, he would have hit 10 home runs.
And I would have loved it even more.
I would have loved it. But we have Swerve Strickland, Orange Cassidy. Now, I saw some mixed reactions to the finish. It seems like this is going to continue. There were a lot of people that really wanted Swerve to win that battle royal. They're like, all right, he'll win the follow-up match. He didn't, but it was an absolute slapper, a humper of a match. They had me sold multiple times during this. I'm really digging Orange Cassidy's reign, but we haven't heard from you yet here on the show. I'm excited to hear what you're thinking of his reign, his workhorse matches, and specifically what you felt about this opening match that took up the first 20-ish minutes of the show.
No, dude, his reign, I think, how can you argue the reign? It's been amazing, especially after the Battle Royal. You could feel it building to Swerve winning tonight. Everybody knew it, right? But I feel like they almost spoiled it by opening the show with it. I was like, wait, it's not the main event. Like, that's the first – I took some notes, and I was like, this is not the main event. If this is not the main event, OC got to be going over. But the great false finishes, I thought the second half of the match really was a humper, like you like to say. The second half was really, really good. False finishes, like I said. I'm surprised, but I love what Swerve's doing with the Mogul Embassy. I feel like his character, too, has gotten so much better. They were trying to figure it out with different guys, and they were figuring out their way. But
this is such an upgrade over Parker, dude, and Trench.
Oh, so good. Yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
They very clearly prioritized signing Brian Cage because they felt like Swerve needed a major upgrade in that regard with who he surrounds himself with. And now with the Mogul Embassy affiliates, like, I look at that and I'm like, okay, well, everybody there is credible to me. Like, we had never seen Parker or Trench do anything in the ring. And what we saw of Parker was really, really bad. However, what we've seen out of Brian Cage is him having the best work of his career. We've seen what Khan and Toa Leona have been doing. So I think that this is going to continue. I mean, I'm very interested to see how this plays out throughout Forbidden Door, because we're probably getting New Japan versus AEW matches
right
up and down the card. Coy Stalling says we should get Zack Sabre Jr. versus OC. They could give it to Zack Sabre Jr. I don't know if Orange Cassidy's losing this title for a while, because now they got two shows and they need to have something important on both shows. And we have seen Tony Khan's ability to say, well, he leveled up this title from the All-Atlantic to the International. So who's to say that they can't level it up again? Because he's made this a very special reign, I think.
I think he still loses to Swerve, man. With this story that they got, Swerve deserves it, bro. I'm really hype on Swerve. And I think he's the guy to take it. I think just, you know, they're just squeezing out the program a little bit longer, but I do like Swerve. But it's interesting. Forbidden Door is an interesting point, who he would face it there. So
if MJF wasn't on his quote unquote reign of terror, I would be looking at Swerve as a world champion. I think he's that good. I just think he's incredible.
For sure.
The little Kev says, do you think Tony Khan announces a hard roster split soon? Because he did say he would follow up on it. I think he announces it next week. So I've heard conflicting things about this. Originally, talent were told, no, it doesn't look like that. Then talent were told, well, you know what? It is going to be a hard brand split. Then they were told soft going into hard brand split. Who the heck knows right now? I don't know. I hope that they figure out something. I mean, I'm all for draft. I got draft fever, but hey.
Hopefully they do a better job than WWE does. That's, you know, it's pretty rough.
CM Punk actually just commented on Pro Wrestling Podcast Instagram.
Uh-oh.
He was talking to somebody, says, or somebody commented and says, can't wait till Punk gets hurt 4 minutes into the match, out 6 months. Then all the marks start the hype for his next epic return.
Oh, my God.
And then GMC or Punk said to him, pro wrestling's a hard business. I don't think you should make fun of Adam Cole for being out so long. I'm glad he's back and healthy. This guy.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That guy there.
Well, we've got Vicky L saying, hey, Sean, Sting, 2 weeks in a row, Fightful is number one. Well, thank you so much. Sting and Darby Allin show up, make the save when the Mogul Embassy affiliates end up making the attack. The lights on or lights off, lights on thing is something that I think that AEW used to overuse. But when it's Sting, I'm okay with them doing it because Sting, I'm going to pop for him no matter when he shows up.
For sure. Sting can do no wrong. The icon can do no wrong. I'm actually kind of upset that, not upset, but I didn't want Darby and Sting and all this to get kind of tweeted in with the Swerve and OC thing they had going. But we'll see where it goes. They added Keith Lee to the tag team match next week. Let's throw them in there. He has a rivalry with Swerve. So we'll see what happens.
Backstage, Alex Marvez is looking for Christian Cage. He emerges and he says that Arn Anderson cost him the TNT title. So he's got an early Father's Day gift for him. And it was Luchasaurus beating Brock Anderson's ass. I don't know what the payoff for this from Wardlow is. Wardlow probably don't give a damn about Brock Anderson, but Arn does. And Arn has been known to shoot humans in the head in storyline. In reality, he says he's never owned a gun, but in kayfabe, he has shot people, Tyler.
With his bare hand.
With his bare hand. What do you think he's going to do?
I have no idea what's going on with that. I was interested. I thought Christian was going to win the title at Double or Nothing. So I have no idea, but sure they have something up their sleeve.
Could gnaw his thumb off again. That could be fine. But they're clearly setting something up here.
Yeah.
I love the Hardy Party promo. You've got Isaiah Cassidy with the Hardy Boys, and they've got Ethan Page coming over there. And Ethan Page's contract now belongs to Matt Hardy. And I've liked this story for the duration they've done it. Like 6-7 months they've been working on this story.
No doubt.
And gosh, it's probably even been longer than that. I feel like I was watching this when I went to Toronto to watch Dynamite. I think they were doing this. So we're talking like the better part of a year. And Ethan Page was like doing the Hardy Boys dance on the live events and all that stuff.
Saw that.
You can tell he's having a lot of fun. When I saw him in Lexington, I was going to drop some awards off and I was like, oh, so what are you doing tonight? He goes, you know, just living my childhood dream and teaming with Matt Hardy. No big deal. So like you can tell he really loves this, but I'm digging this. It's good to see a baby face owning the contract of a heel instead of vice versa.
Yeah, we'll see where they go with this. I feel like a lot of people haven't even seen what they've been doing over the last year because everything's been on Rampage, right? So now it's starting to show up on Dynamite. So hopefully more people can see what they've been working on. I've been okay of a fan of it. I feel like it's going to get better, you know. I like the Isaiah with the neck and that whole storyline. So and Jeff coming back, right? So we'll see what happens.
If you're worried about seeing all the content you want, get NordVPN.com/Fightful, one of our great sponsors. I'm always telling you about how you can order pay-per-views there and get them at a much more affordable price. That's what I'm doing this weekend with UFC. I'm paying like $15 with those overseas services. But let's talk about the security you get there. You change your virtual location with just one click. You shield your data from snoops and criminals. NordVPN.com/Fightful shields your IP address and secures your online traffic with state-of-the-art encryption. You can safely listen to podcasts, stream shows, or simply browse in complete privacy. If you're traveling a lot like I am, I'm heading to Indianapolis, Cincinnati. I just went to Toronto last year, heading to London multiple times. Got to go everywhere this year. You want to stay safe on that public Wi-Fi, whether it be at the arena, at a restaurant, at the hotel, or at the airport. You don't want snoops listening into what you're doing. Shoddy security leads to snoops being able to easily break into public Wi-Fi networks to spy on your data unless you encrypt it first with NordVPN.com/Fightful. And they secure every device you own. Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, iOS, connect up to 6 devices separately with just one subscription, or set up NordVPN.com on your router just to protect the whole household while you're at it. They have a password manager, a file encryption tool. They've got tiers for everything you want. Also, they got a 30-day money-back guarantee. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Man, I was looking forward to the Alex spot right there. I thought you were going to give it to me. Oh. I had a dance planned and everything,
Hey, we've got another read later on. I'll make sure to do that. I'll make sure to do that. So we got Blackpool Combat Club defeating Chaos. I was kind of hoping Sue would drive them out, but I always love seeing Rocky Romero. He is, I don't even know if he's an unsung hero of the Forbidden Door anymore, but if you see somebody on a show that probably doesn't belong there, Rocky Romero probably had something to do with it. But their role here was to lose to BCC. Yeah. But I thought they did it in a way that made them look good, too. They got a lot of their offense in. A lot of people underestimate Chuck Taylor to this day. I thought this was very enjoyable, enhanced by Brian Danielson being on commentary because he's fantastic.
Oh, no doubt.
How are you feeling about this? How do you like BCC in general and the role that the Best Friends played here?
I thought the Best Friends that are Chaos, whatever what they called, I thought they did a great job tonight. The way they started off the match of being aggressive, like you could tell they had a game plan because they know BCC likes to, you know, be hardcore and aggressive. So that was cool. How old is Rocky Romero? Is he older?
Not, I mean, kind of. It depends
because
on what
he's looking
older.
Okay, because I thought he looked great. Like he was bouncing around, like looking really fresh. I was like, damn.
He's 40, which in wrestling isn't that old.
Yeah.
But also, he's been wrestling for like 25 years.
He's a vet. Yeah, I thought he looked good.
Yeah, he always looks good. He's such a talent, and he is so integral to this brand. And the BCC is something that I just get a kick out of. I enjoy what they are. I do wish that we could see them. I think we will see them recruit Konosuke Takeshita into this, who we're about to talk about.
Right.
But the Young Bucks, they challenge BCC to a match. So that's coming. That's on the horizon. No Kenny Omega yet. So right now, the Takeshita Omega stuff is being kept a little separately of BCC, Young Bucks, and Hangman. We can go right into that. Takeshita comes out, no music, beats somebody's ass, wins to no music, and then he and Don Callis cut a promo. I loved the no music type of thing.
Yeah, and then they keep the reel running behind. They kept the Titantron or whatever playing the whole time, seeing them beat him up. Man, I love heel Takeshita. Don Callis, always good. But they got something going right here. And I'm interested to see who's the family that's going to cut out the Elite. Something's going on there.
Takeshita, we saw him as so wholesome that it's like, man, how could he be a heel? And I thought he knocked it out of the park with this promo.
Yes.
I mean, he spoke in Japanese largely, but it's the way it's you could tell that he did it with malicious intent. He did it with such anger and with such poise that you can tell that he meant something mean by that. He could have been talking about frolicking in the meadows and sharing a bag of Skittles with him for all I know. But man, he cut this promo with such poise. And the crowd hates Don Callis. Hates Don Callis.
Did you see the sign? Did you see the sign that said Callis eats hot dogs without chewing? Did you see that one?
I did. I did see that.
It's good stuff.
I saw that. That's a heck of a sign. All the signs they confiscate. I'm glad that they didn't confiscate that. They're like, whatever you have to say about Don Callis,
keep it.
Yeah, it flies it. Here.
Yep.
This crowd reaction to Callis, man, it's something special.
No doubt. Like you said, it started last week. I thought last week in that San Diego, I think they were in, started off. And I feel like now every week we're going to get something like this to build up to whatever they're building to. But like I said, you said too, heel Takeshka speaking the Japanese and just saying, Kenny, oh man, like the way his tone is, dude, like it's some good stuff.
That Don Callis sign reminded me of the time I saw Seahawk on Twitter eating a raw glizzy in the main event of a WWE pay-per-view in catering. So keep in mind, this thing was stale and he just raw dogged it bareback. And that should be a crime. And here's my username says, a stale glizzy bareback would be a cool name for a band that we would see on a festival poster. Or what Seahawk did at SummerSlam. G Bro says, Don Callis eats corn the long way. That he does.
That sign tonight too. I think it said Jay White or something. White eats corn the long way. I saw that sign too. So
hey, that's heel heat right there.
That's right.
Nate's saying, hoping to see Tyler back. I think you will. He's doing pretty good.
Appreciate it.
I think he's doing pretty darn good. Oh boy, it's time to talk about the segment that so many people are talking about after this show. MJF is out in the ring, and he's interrupted by Adam Cole. And I saw a lot of people say a lot of things about this promo, which was more of a monologue by MJF, and we're going to get into that. And to me, it was very clear what MJF was doing. He was taking intentionally untrue, recycled stuff from internet trolls and playing off of that on Adam Cole. That's what Adam Cole brought up. He's like, you sound like an internet troll. He said, you're skinny. You're not tan anymore. You're not jacked. Your girlfriend's better than you. Said, you're not tall. Said, you were going to be Keith Lee's manager. Said, Vince McMahon didn't see star potential in you. All that said, he was frail and fragile. All these things that you see people who don't have anything else better to do on the internet talking about, he brought up all these things, mm-hmm. which is going to create an interesting dynamic, as if there could be interesting that these internet trolls say, like, what would they think? That somebody's saying exactly what they say, but on AEW TV. Well, they think that's good TV. Well, they think they're getting ripped off. I mean, a significant amount of those things that were mentioned just outright weren't true. I know because I had to look into it when I reported or had to report on some of this stuff. But it really felt like you just pulled this from a thread of people you might have blocked or muted on Twitter. I thought it worked because Adam Cole has, like, why not address all these things? Absolutely, why not?
And Adam Cole delivered it right back, which I was impressed by, which I knew he had it, but I was like, how, damn, he's just digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's like MJF listens to the Jim Cornette podcast. It's like Jim Cornette bashes Adam Cole, and it's like everything he says is what MJF said. But like every troll, a lot of people were hating on it online. People were hating on this promo, saying like, I wish the Dirt Sheets wouldn't get involved into their promos, kayfabe, blah, blah, blah. I like, it's 2023, bro. This is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I really enjoyed this promo. Thought it was really good. They have good chemistry. Two pros, obviously. Man, I'm excited for this program.
So Adam Cole mentioned the fact that MJF brought up everybody else's relationships. He was like, you know, I get it. You're worried about other people's relationships because your fiance left you. Then he said, MJF had also brought up the Karrion Kross line that Adam Cole said. He's like, you know what they do to make me interesting? They ring the bell. And he says that he's the natural. Adam Cole isn't. Adam Cole says, well, we'll see how natural you are when you take a piss test, which is a shot at MJF's evolving physique. Like, I feel like depending on who you're a fan of and what you're a fan of, you could see this promo and who won it and how it landed a lot of different ways. How did you feel like it landed in totality?
I thought MJF at first was digging deep. I was like, that's what I, like I said earlier, how is Adam Cole going to come back from this? But I thought he did a good job. I liked it in both ways. You know, I'm a fan of both guys regardless. But I thought they both did their part and nobody outlanded one person. You know what I'm saying? Like they went back and forth and it was pretty even. I forgot what I was going to say, but it was good. Yeah, I liked it.
Oh, man. This I thought was really good. And it seems like they're going to lean right into this like next week. So this was like a goading a troll type of thing, because generally in that situation, they just want to talk their talk and then move on and think that they've won. And Cole's like, no, if you really believed any of this stuff, you would fight me. You would just go ahead and fight me. And he trolled the troll into a world championship match. All he did, he smirked and smiled in his face and said, I know you are, but what am I? Give me a title match. And that guy is like, wait, you responded to me? You responded to me? Now I'm going to rage. And he got MJF to rage into a title eliminator match.
How do you think that plays out next week? Because you know it's going to be some shenanigans. So how do
I think that? I think that especially, I think it's going to be a screwy finish. For sure.
Because neither one had, well, like, how's MJF going to do that? I guess with the ring maybe or something like that. But, yeah, something's going to happen. So,
Yep. Oh, man. I don't know if I like title eliminators. I feel, unless it's like a DQ and then Adam Cole wins.
If he beats the world champ and he gets another title shot, you know what I'm saying? It's weird. Yeah. That's a weird thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when I look at that, I'm like, all right, he'll probably win DQ count out, something like that.
Yeah.
And then that will lead to the actual match. Because if you have him pin MJF, I feel like that takes some heat off of MJF.
No, you can't do that. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But then that would lead to their match at Forbidden Door, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't just, yeah.
Guys, reminder, leave a thumbs up, get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate it. Bizarro Big L said, had a feeling Brock and Pillman may team up with Wardlow, maybe a House of Black Trios match to push Pillman and give him an edge. Is MJF Keith Lee name drop a hint for a future feud? I feel like Moguls versus Darby Group is a feud set up for Nick Wayne. So there's a lot of things to address in this. Let's go one by one. Brock and Pillman may team up with Wardlow. They've been teaming lately. I did an interview with Brian Pillman a couple months ago, and I was like, what happens when Griff Garrison comes back? Right. And Griff Garrison is back. He came back at the ROH tapings. We haven't seen this Pillman-Anderson team at all on TV. It's been on like Dark and stuff like that. Which direction do you think Pillman goes here?
I think it's got to be with Griff, right? Because that's what we know. You know, I've never seen him, but I don't know how the Brock Anderson thing is going to play out. They tried it before in the past years ago. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so as well. I think maybe it leads to a bit of a turn, so to speak, with that, with maybe Griff and Brian Pillman having a little bit more edge. So after that, this person had mentioned, is the MJF Keith Lee name drop a hint for future feud? I don't see that happening on the horizon. No. Maybe he says something, but the Moguls versus Darby Group is a setup for Nick Wayne. I mean, I think they pre-announced Nick Wayne's debut match, but Nick Wayne has history with Swerve. So I think that it absolutely is.
Aren't they? Is that what they announced that, right? Swerve and Nick Wayne?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So
like in the summer, it'll be once Nick Wayne turns 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had actually reported on Fightful Select recently that they have a bunch of creative plans like well ahead of time. So they had planned this for quite a while. Texas Tornado Tag Match. Oh man, this was all over the place. This was violent. Preston Vance gets busted open. It's Dralistico and Preston Vance against Jungle Hook, and Jungle Hook wins after Jose, the jacked assistant, takes his shirt off and gets choked out. then Jungle Hook ends up winning. Now, I think that Jack Perry is headed for a heel turn on Hook, but it wasn't tonight, and this was just bloody, violent, messy, all over the place. We got people going through tables. What was your favorite part of this match?
I think the table spot, putting Vance through the table, that was pretty good. Like I said about the first match, after that commercial break, it just like sped up and picked up, and the action was great. I was trying to figure out where did Vance get busted open, because that was pretty bad, but I think it was with the chain. That's when he, bled after that. But even Dralistico, his mask was ripped off. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Everybody
getting tore up. Yeah.
When by the time that Hook did that suplex, like even the commentators were like, whose blood is that? Because we knew that Preston Vance got busted open, but man, the blood was all over the place there. No like doubt. This is something that I think that Jack Perry needs. He needs a little bit of violence, he needs a little bit of an edge. And I think we're pushing closer and closer to Jack Perry getting that edge. And I think Hook is the perfect person for him to sort of make that heel turn on, because Hook is so beloved by this audience. Like they pop for him every time they hear Action Bronson.
But I think it's a good matchup in general. You know, if you would turn heel on Hook, I think Hook and Jungle, I think it's a great matchup in general. So I'm really glad they went back to the Jungle Hook thing, because I think, this would be good for Jungle Boy's heel turn too. Like you said, because Hook is so beloved, it's a win-win all around. So,
yeah, I thought that this worked out really well. This was the action in the middle of the show. Sometimes you just need a mess. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what this was. This was a bit of a mess. Ricardo saying Preston channeling Mox tonight. Oh, he did. Like I saw that. Okay. He's busted open.
Yeah.
He's busted open good. That was nasty.
Yeah.
But I would like to see Jack Perry and Hook kind of go after it for the FTW championship, because I'm going to look back and see the last time when Hook defended that, because it feels like it's been a while.
I was about to say he never defended. He just won it from Ricky Starks. And hey, I'm sure he's defended it though. Yeah.
He's defended it a couple times. He's been defending it on live events, but he defended it on Rampage in April against Ethan Page. He defended it on Dynamite and Rampage. He defended it on Dynamite against Matt Hardy. Rampage against Lee Moriarty, Arya Davari. Man, he's had that for.
So the whole firm. He went through the whole firm. And
Yeah. Gotcha. Angelo Parker, Zach Clayton. He won it almost a year ago. He's approaching a year. So I think that making that title a little bit more prominent is something that would probably help out, especially when you've got a couple hours more content on there.
Yeah.
Speaking of more content, guys, I'm going to have more news. A story I was going to break on Thursday, but I'm going to have more details on it. It was reported by Sports Illustrated that AEW had conversations with Mercedes Moné, the former Sasha Banks, about possibly doing Forbidden Door. I've got a lot more information about that coming to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have a bunch of WWE news. I had a SmackDown this week. Also this weekend, we got some AEW Fight Forever news. Ooh. Lots of good stuff coming your way. FightfulSelect.com. Make sure you guys check it out. We got Chris Statlander defeating Anna Jay. Matt Menard out there.
That was good. And
when Collision starts, I hope we get to see more of Matt Menard and Angelo Parker like kind of doing their thing instead of with the Jericho Appreciation Society. Yeah. But I thought that I'm not usually much for shenanigans, but I thought he was sort of a welcome addition to this, because you have to have something for Chris Statlander to overcome a little bit, because I don't think anybody's buying Anna Jay beating her. What did you think of his presence?
I took a note of it. I was like, Daddy Magic is magic on the outside. I like him in that manager role, man. He's loud, obnoxious, his mannerisms, his facials. I thought he did a really great job. And I thought, dude, surprisingly to me, that might have been Anna Jay's best match, because I feel like every match she has, she's always like, there's always kind of something with it, like a mess up here, there. But I thought tonight she did a really good job. It was a good match. It was good. I was happy with it.
I loved one particular spot in this match. Anna Jay threw a kick, and I loved the dead cell from Chris Statlander. Yeah. I thought that was great. We got Taya watching in the background. Now, part of this, I'm like, okay, cool, because Taya and Chris Statlander don't have like a big history or anything, but Taya also lost two TBS title matches.
So how does that make sense? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, let somebody else step up within kayfabe. I love Taya as a performer, but I'm like, the two title matches, what are we doing here?
Right. I guess we'll just have to see once she gets on the mic and has to say her piece. You know, maybe there's something there. But the fact that she lost two title fight in matches, you know, it doesn't make sense right now. So we'll see.
So this match specifically, when I look at Anna Jay, I'm like, all right, she's got enough sort of cachet to where you put her in this match and you know that she's not going to win it or anything, but I thought that they had a pretty good match.
Yeah,
I was happy with that. Josh Bombsang is her tombstone, the finisher now, even hooking the legs. I love that. Yeah,
that was gnarly.
That's something I really enjoy. And Meet Norma says, shout out to Daddy Magic wearing the puffy paintball jacket from Seinfeld. Old AF, but loved it. You can tell that he draws his sort of charismatic inspiration from a variety of things. And I always appreciate that. Yeah. I love it. I'll tell you what else I love. Oh, no. I don't know if I have a graphic for our read.
Oh, no.
You know what? I'll make an executive decision. I'm going to change the read to something that I have, something that I actually have a graphic for. And it's our friends at Manscaped. Let me tell you, we got a show called In the Weeds, but if your thang is a little too in the weeds, or maybe your beard, as Tyler's showing you, go to manscaped.com. Use the code FIGHTFUL to get 20% off. Manscaped and the code FIGHTFUL. Let me tell you, there are so many different things you can get there. It's not just your pube trimmers. It's not just the best beard trimmer on the market. It's that lawnmower 4.0. Take care of your body in totality. How about your skin? How about your hair care? With the Ultra Premium Collection, you can do that. Shampoo, body wash, deodorant, hydrating body spray, lip balm. They got conditioner there as well. Not only that, they got ear and nose hair trimmers. They've got boxers. Their Beard Hedger Pro Kit is fantastic. You got beard shampoo, beard conditioner, beard oil, beard balm, and a travel bag. That way you stay fresh on the go. Maybe you're backpacking somewhere. I don't know. But you got travel bags there as well. And with manscaped.com and that code FIGHTFUL, you save 20%. You get free shipping. I mean, everything in the bathroom this side of toilet paper, they got. They've even got body buffer silicone scrubbers. A little bit of everything. That way you stay fresh. Just outfit your whole bathroom with manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. We keep you looking fresh. Oh, man. You don't, let me tell you, you don't want your regions looking like Preston Vance tonight.
Use Manscaped. I had too much fun doing that. Yes.
Yeah, use manscaped.com. They got that proprietary skin safe.
I do use Manscaped, by the way.
I do too.
Yeah.
I legitimately do. That beard trimmer is one of the best I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Really big fan of their stuff.
Absolutely.
We got Toni Storm cutting a promo. I'm going to have some news on a potential opponent for her coming up soon, but I'm excited to kind of see what's on the horizon for the AEW women's title. If you had your pick, who would be the next challenger for that AEW women's title?
I mean, it seems like Britt Baker, right? I mean, I guess that's my choice. I don't know. The women's division to me right now is kind of okay, but just the matchup that they showed, the four-way on Rampage, right? And the winner faces Tony next week. All signs point to Dr. Britt Baker, right? Unless there's some shenanigans, of course, with the Outcast. So interesting. Again, like, it's a lot of question marks. Like we said to start the show, there's so many question marks with so many storylines. So
when I look at this match, Britt Baker, Sky Blue, Mercedes Martinez, Nyla Rose, it certainly seems like Dr. Britt Baker is the slam dunk decision, unless they pull some shenanigans and like
the Outcast, yeah.
Yeah. And like Mercedes pins Sky Blue,
yeah,
or Nyla, which I mean, I don't know in kayfabe why Toni Storm would want to fight Nyla Rose or Mercedes Martinez. Maybe she would want to fight Sky Blue instead because she's the girl who never gets wins. But it also seems like they're trying to stack. I love that they're putting this on Rampage and giving us something that matters on Rampage. Because I've had a lot of people asking how I think Rampage will change. I don't think it will change a whole lot. But It seems like Dr. Britt Baker is the easy decision, but also if I were Toni Storm, I would want to face Sky Blue and not one of the best women's champions they've ever had.
So most likely we're going to see the Outcast come down the ring and try to eliminate Dr. Britt Baker, right? That's
indeed.
You would think so.
Ricardo says, Select is the best $5 I spend. Thank you so much, Ricardo. And Bizarro Big L says, Hook won the FTW title in mass. Saw it happen with that Hobbs turn. Hook versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry in Boston next month. Double or nothing. Or the Don. Sorry. The Don as a mafia family would be obnoxious. Need that Danhausen back to put the Ass Boys in their place. Well, we're about to talk about the Ass Boys.
Speaking of.
Because we're talking about Jay White and Ricky Starks. Now, as highlighted earlier and on Fightful Select, Jay White's about to be in a very prime position. CM Punk has taken a liking to his work, which is obviously very good for his career. And he's been fine with his creative. I know a lot of people haven't been satisfied with it. I had said that it kind of does feel like they maybe didn't expect to get him, but they do like Ricky Starks an awful lot. They see Ricky Starks as a premium talent. Juice Robinson can talk his ass off. Jay White can talk. He can wrestle. They can do everything. So they put them in the main event of Dynamite against the NBA Finals. Not just against the NBA Finals. Against the NBA Finals when the team is from an hour away.
No shit. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. They're in Colorado Springs. That's about an hour from Denver. Now, they weren't in Denver for the NBA Finals tonight. But... you know, that's some stiff competition locally. So they had to put something that they believed in there, as the Nuggets are up right now on the Heat. Congrats to Will Washington. But they trusted these guys in a very premium position. I thought the ref bump looked goofy, but I loved the match. And it's hard to sometimes get these ref bumps where the ref just oddly walks right next to the wrestlers while one of them's up on the shoulder.
Yeah.
That always looks bad.
Yeah, but
Let's talk about up until the finish, though. I really enjoyed the way this played out. And in the finish, I was like, ah.
But you knew that was going to happen. You know, you knew that was going to happen, right? Especially with the Bullet Club. There's always something going on. And I think you reported earlier that the other members are going to come. You know, obviously something was going to happen. But yeah, those bumps are tough. But it's like, what can you do? What else would they do? You know, like, how else can you do it? But yeah, I thought the match was good. Those two guys are great, obviously. Finally, Jay White can showcase his main event status in the main event of Dynamite. So that was good.
I really enjoyed this match. I actually really, really loved the idea of putting Switchblade Jay White into a feud that involved Juice Robinson and Ricky Starks, because you got three talent that can really talk you into the building. I just feel like they need a little bit of something. They need something to lean on, some reason. And that's what I'm looking for here. I'm looking for a reason. I reported on FightfulSelect.com today that Bullet Club Gold was about to get new members, and I don't think they officially announced it tonight, but here we are. It's the Guns, and I know a lot of people don't like the Guns, and
I love them.
They've got incredible body language. They've got incredible timing. I think they're a good tag team. I understand why some people, especially in this AEW outfit, why they aren't quite for them. But I think they are massively underrated. However, I think that AEW knew what kind of reaction they were going to get off of this. Mm-hmm. And I think that they believe that the Guns get the right kind of heat. Whether or not anybody else thinks that they get the right kind of heat, or they do. I mean, you could see it with Baron Corbin. I'll give you guys a good example. I love Baron Corbin in the ring when he doesn't work a style that is like, let's slow this down with a half Nelson chicken wing for 4 minutes. When he's working a good, crisp pace, I think he's great. Not a fan of his promos, not a fan of a lot of that, except for the happy Corbin or the bum-ass Corbin. However, when I started to go to live shows that Corbin was on, I could see why Vince McMahon would hear the crowd, because when you're there, you boo the hell out of him. I could see why Vince McMahon heard that and goes, oh, this guy is over big time. That's the same with the Guns. When the Guns come out at these live shows, they get fantastic reactions from the live crowd generally to what you want. So I could see why Tony and that creative are like, Hell yeah. It's the same reason they leaned on QT Marshall for a lot of stuff in Toronto. They used him to come out and get heat for everybody. So I think that they believe that the Ass Boys get the right kind of heat. And I think that they want this group to get that kind of heat. Do you think they're getting the right kind of heat with the AEW audience?
Absolutely. They know what they're doing. They're doing all the mannerisms and all the things they do is because of the reaction that they're getting. I think the guns are awesome. I know I'm on the opposite end. A lot of people hate them, but just because they're not the high flying, AEW stereotypical style, I guess, but I love their wrestling. That FTR feud, people didn't like it. I thought it was great. The entrance they had, many men, like, dude, I was into it. And I thought
that was ridiculous. I love the song. I love the song, but for them, I was like.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't think it'd fit them, but in the moment, the camera angles, I was like, damn, all right, it's cool. But I think them and Bullet Club Gold makes too much sense. You know, the guns, the Bang Bang Gang, like, it's just, I could see this being really, really good. Especially with the heat, like you said, they get. That's what they want. And Jay White lead the charge, Juice. All those guys can talk, all of them. Maybe Colton's the weakest link, but I think this is going to be good.
There's an awful lot of wordplay to go off of.
Yeah.
As well. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
So, with the guns, Bullet Club, all that, I think that there's a nice little bit of cohesion there. But I want to see how they follow this up. Because they didn't officially announce the guns as Bullet Club members.
Right.
So for all I know, me being told, oh, they're getting new Bullet Club members. Maybe they don't mean the Gun Club. Maybe they don't mean them. Meet Norma says guns and Bullet Club makes sense. Right. Yeah,
that's
does.
What I'm saying. Yeah, it does.
G Bro, by the way, guys, get in your super chats, get in your Humper chats as we wrap up. He says, welcome to the party, Tyler. What's your go-to breakfast food?
Holy crap. Well, if you didn't know, I'm a personal trainer, so my food, I eat a lot of food in the morning. Eggs, do oatmeal, protein with my coffee, banana. I have a loaded breakfast. So, yeah.
There you go. I try to sneak on to In the Weeds every time they go in the air and show off my eggs. But
there you go.
But I got to hit up Tyler for some advice.
Come on, man.
I got to beat up Shaza McKenzie every time I see her, and I can't let her be in better shape than me.
Hey, so. Dude, you don't need a personal trainer for that. You got
that. That's also true. I did it without one. Ricardo said, Gun Club shirts incoming. They already had them. They've already been known as the Gun Club in the past.
Yeah.
Jason says, will MJF ever wrestle someone from New Japan? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely he will. Because he does a really good job of getting that heat with them because he minimizes them so much and he makes them try to appear not as important as they are. That way, whenever he does face somebody, they take him to the absolute limit and the heat is there for them as well. Well, guys, we got an awful lot of stuff coming up. We told you about all the Fightful Select scoops, but we got Collision on the horizon as well. Hope you guys will join us for that. We got Tom LaValle wrapping us up with a super chat saying, could we see Mercedes side with the Outcasts here? That would be an interesting approach because she is kind of an outcast, but man, she's about as less qualified as an outcast as possible because she was like, Retribution, get me the hell out of this. I don't want to do this.
And who's going to boo her? As soon as they see her on AEW TV, they're going to go nuts. So.
That's true. Tyler, let the people know where they can find you, where they can support you, where they can follow you on social media.
It's at TLATCH510. So that's TLATCH 510 on Twitter and Instagram. Hit me up there. Like I said, I'm a personal trainer. So if you need something with that, I'm your guy. But yeah, Instagram and Twitter. That's me.
Guys, check out List and Your Boy today. I was out, had to handle some family business, but Chris Van Vliet joined. He was also on The List Goes On. I did a little bit of a run in there, talked with him, Joel Pearl, Jimmy Van. So check that out. Denise will be back next week on the post-Raw show. I will be back next week on List and Your Boy. I believe Alex will be back here, but it looks like we'll have Tyler pop in whenever available, of course. But, of course, stay tuned to Fightful, youtube.com/Fightful. We have an interview with Allison Kay and Marty Bell of The Hex where they stole championships from children. That is a thing that happened. That's coming this week. Guys, until next time, we're out.
Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.